May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It would be quite easy to dodge the bullet. It would be quite easy to take the road more traveled and preach about, let the children come unto me. But, as I said, that would be the easy way. And the easy way is not always the best way. So I want to do like I did a couple weeks ago when I was here, and I want to put D on the spot again. I'm not going to ask him who he is 8 times. I'm just going to ask him to do one thing. Ready, D? Try to stand up. Now, I didn't say stand up. I said try to stand up. Thank you. Now, I know this is semantics in a lot of ways, because to try is to do for most of us. Unless you're handicapped and you can't stand up, then all you can do is try, and you probably can't do it. And that's the bottom line for the message for today. The first time I had to preach on this particular gospel, I remember it well. I was in probably my fourth or fifth year of ordained ministry, in the second church in which I served in those early days of my ministry. And here came this challenge, and I chose not to duck it then either. And so I preached on no divorce. No divorce. That's not allowed. What God has put together, let no one put asunder. Well, it ain't that easy, as probably all of you know. In fact, it's been said, marriage is damned hard work. So why did Jesus give us this impossible command? Well, 40 years later, I get it. Because I'm divorced now. And it would have been real easy for me to condemn it back in those days. But even then, I had to try to make sense of it all. How do we make sense of something so hard to do that it's almost like an impossible command? Now, I know a lot of you have made it through and are with your original spouse. But there are a lot of us who aren't. So what do we do about that conundrum? Well, the first thing I think we have to do is put it in context. The great New Testament scholar and Jew who teaches, Amy Jill Levine, who teaches at Vanderbilt and is an expert in New Testament, think of that, a Jew who's an expert in New Testament, makes it very clear. She was talking to another of Jesus' teaching about marriage when I heard her say this, but it applies just the same. She was preaching about the one about whose husband will you be if you marry your brother's, your husband's brother after he dies, and who will you be married to in heaven? Which is the same question of thou shalt not commit adultery, breaking one of the big 10. In this case, it's set in the challenge that the Pharisees had for Jesus about divorce. And she makes it real clear. Jesus and his followers believed that the world was going to end before their lifetimes. And that makes it very incumbent upon us to stick with the basic teachings and live until the last judgment comes, which is going to be within our lifetimes. Another way to put it, that she didn't, but I'll say it, is another excuse. In those days, people didn't live past 40 or 50 years old. You got married, you had your family, you had your kids, and you died. That was about it. So it was important to stay with the same person all that time, especially if you wanted to maintain a community. So those are reasons that Jesus might have chosen to say what he did. But it's also about standards. Your standard, when I said try to stand up, is to stand up. If we have standards, we have a chance at maintaining them. Now, I've done a lot of premarital counseling over the course of my 50 years or so in ordained ministry. I've done a lot of premarital counseling. And one of the things that we require of people who get married from the church or within the church is to sign a declaration of intention that their marriage will be lifelong. And almost always people go ahead with that without even thinking about it. Just like standing up, if you're told to stand up, you try to stand up and you do stand up. But if you don't have that sense of something that is a standard, something to which to achieve, something for which to strive, something for which to do, you might as well say, this is going to be a marriage until we feel like it isn't here anymore. But if you start with that standard, you never get to the sense of lifelong commitment. And where does the sense of lifelong commitment come from? It comes from marriage being a sacrament, a way of living with people as God lives with us. God never wavers in God's love for humankind. God doesn't say, well, you've been a bad boy, so I'm not going to love you anymore. Which brings us to the third standard that is so important, the third point, which is also a standard, which is so important. And that is, Jesus dies as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus taught that the only unforgivable sin, which is one thing I ask of my couples in premarital, what would be the unforgivable sin in your marriage? What would make it a failure if the other person did it? The unforgivable sin to Jesus is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Well, what in the world does that mean? A sin against the Holy Spirit. Well, I can think of something very important. When we say, I cannot forgive, we sin against the basic thing that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. Remember when Jesus appeared in the upper room behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive will be forgiven, and those whose sins you retain, that is, don't forgive, will be retained. Because the greater standard is not just the standard by which we hope to live and strive to live, but it's a standard which we can all live, and that is to forgive. The only hope of achieving lifelong marriage, and I know those of you who have done that so far will attest to this, is to be able to forgive each other. Be able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Or to be able to say, I forgive you, even though you hurt me more than you know. Forgiveness, you see, is the real power of love. Love may bring you to a marriage, but it's the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit to forgive each other, to work through those failures, frailties, weaknesses, which tend to separate us. In the marriage service, the question is, will you? Do you promise to love and honor and obey and follow and all those things? They're what brung you here. Love brings you here. But self-sacrificing love is what keeps you here. That's the love by which we are always accepted by God. That's the love by which we know we have a chance of achieving eternal life. That's the love that sustains us and helps us to overcome even those failures that we're bound to have because we're human. That's the love of marriage when we try hard enough and we work through it and we accept God's forgiveness to empower us to continue even when it seems almost impossible. You know, I like to close with a song, and I tried to think of what would be the best one for this, and I'm not sure I came up with the best one, but at least the essence of it, I think, fits. It's that old Lennon-McCartney song, which was not one of their greatest hits, but it was one of their deepest thoughts. I've always thought it should be used at marriages, at weddings. There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed. Some forever, not for better. Some are gone, but some remain. All these places lose their meaning. When I think of love as something new, I'll often stop and think about them. But in my life, I love you more. There are all these friends and lovers. Let me get the words out so I don't mess it up too bad. Yeah. But of all these friends and lovers, there's no one compares to you. And these memories lose their meaning when I think of love as something new. I know I'll never lose affection for lovers and friends that went before. I know I'll often stop and think about them, but in my life, I love you more. To me, that expresses the sense that forgiveness plays in a lifelong commitment, in our striving to find something helpful and healing in what God calls us to try to achieve. I know for myself, I always thought my first marriage was going to make it because I believed in that lifelong commitment. But it didn't. But I know now that what I have will sustain me to the end of my days. For it's built on the power not only to forgive, but to try to achieve that which God has given us. And that's His eternal, sustaining, forgiving, self-sacrificing love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.